إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers, we have been speaking about the three questions of the grave, and today inshallah we'll talk about the first of the four questions of the Day of Judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to answer all of these questions successfully, because that will determine what will happen to us for the rest of our akhirah, which is forever. And we'll follow the same pattern, which is that we will speak about the question on one day and leave some time for reflection, and then the next day we will speak about the answer to that question, inshallah. The first of the questions of the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the feet of the son of Adam will not be able to move from the Maidan of the Hashar, from the earth of the place of gathering on the Day of Judgment, until he answers four questions. And what are the four questions? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned them. The first one is, what did you do with the time that I gave you? What did you do with the time or life that I gave you? The second one is, what did you do with your youth? And the third one is, what did you do with your knowledge? And the fourth one is, what did you do with your wealth? How did you earn it and where did you spend it? These are the four questions that we will be asked on the Day of Judgment. And as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the feet of the son of Adam will not be able to move from where they are until they answer these four questions. We ask Allah to make it easy for us. I remember seeing there was some movie about this prison. And in this prison, it was a multi sort of cellular jail kind of thing. So it had multi stories. And the corridors outside the cells, the prison cells, these corridors were made of steel mesh. And these prisoners were given special boots which were strapped onto their feet. They couldn't take them off. And these boots had in the soles, the heels and the toes, they were of metal. So when they walked on this thing, it made an infernal sound, because there was metal on metal, so it was a big clashing sound as they walked. And I remember initially when I was watching this film, I was wondering, why do they need to have metal shoes and walk on this metal thing? It makes a hell of a lot of noise. Until they show one scene in that film where there is a riot, where people start fighting and trying to run away. And all that a prison guard does is he throws a switch. And with that switch, there is this extremely powerful electromagnet which magnetizes the floor. So every prisoner is stuck where he's standing. The floor just grabs him because he's wearing metal boots. So the floor just grabs him, and you have people just fall over flat on their face because the feet got stuck. Some guy is trying to run and his feet got stuck, so he falls over flat on his face. He's just stuck in that place. And that's when I understood the meaning of the hadith, that the feet of the son of Adam will not be able to leave the place of Hashar until they answer these four questions. I'm not saying that the place of Hashar is electromagnetized, but just saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes teaches us in different ways. Now, what is the first question of these four? How did you spend your life? How did you spend your time? I want to remind myself and you that how we spend our time and how we spend our life begins with the choices we make. It does not begin with time management. It does not begin with structuring of time. It does not begin with even with measurement of what we do. It begins with the choices we make. Because depending on the choice, all the rest follows. And therefore, it is very important to do two things. One is to live thoughtfully, not to live mechanically. Second one is to measure and consciously make those choices. Live thoughtfully and then assess that choice and say which is the better choice to make. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya said that one of the ways in which a person destroys himself is that he chooses to do a good deed which has less value than another deed which has more value. Please understand, he is not saying that a person chooses to commit sin. No, he is not talking about sin. He is talking about doing good deeds. But he says the person destroys himself by choosing to do a good deed. Sounds strange. A person destroys himself by doing good. Yes. How? He chooses a good deed which is less valuable than another one which is more valuable. Now, why is he saying this? Why is he talking about choosing a good deed with less value as being a sign of destroying yourself? Because this is one of the ways in which shaitan deceives. One of the ways in which shaitan deceives is by trying to tell you that after all, this other deed is also a good deed. So just do it. For example, why should you worry about trying to make effort to learn and understand the Quran? Reading the Quran is good, alhamdulillah, it's sawab. Looking at the Quran is sawab. Reading the Quran is sawab. For every letter of the Quran, you will get 10 hasanat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say that you have to understand those letters. You must know the meaning of the letters. No. To the extent that the hadith, the specific wording of the hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I do not say that alif, lam, meem is one letter. I say alif is one letter, lam is one letter, meem is one letter. He's talking about huruf al-muqatta'at, which you cannot understand anyway. So, shaitan will give you this dalil. This dalil shaitan will give you. So, how can you say that why you must understand the Quran? When there is benefit in actually reading the Quran, even if you don't understand, here is the hadith for dalil for this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Shaitan will give this dalil. So why should I make the effort? After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salatul fajr, Allah made it fard. Where did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, go to the masjid to pray? I'm praying salatul fajr, khalas, I'm praying in my house. Why must I go to the masjid for this? I'm not missing my fajr, I'm not making qada, nothing. I'm waking up at time, I'm praying my salatul fajr. I'm even praying it very nicely. I'm reciting more than 30 ayats in the first rakat. I'm reciting 30, 25, 30 ayats in the second rakat. I'm doing all of this. I do it at home. Why must I go to the masjid? Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya said, when you make these choices, you are actually destroying yourself. Because shaitan is behind you. When you are making such choices, these choices are being directed by shaitan. Because he's making you choose something which has less value. To pray at home, the value is 1. To pray in the masjid, the value is 25 to 27 times for the same action. So, shaitan makes you choose one. Choices we make. We can choose to smile or we can choose to go through the world with a frown on our face. No problem. It's your face. Do what you want with it. But apart from the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said a smile is sadaqah, a smile solves more problems in this world than anything else, believe me. I mean, you can learn it the hard way if you want, but learning it easier way is smart. If you have a friendly face, and if you smile at people, and if you have good akhlaq, then you solve more problems for yourself than walking around with a frown on your face, or walking around even with a serious face. Choices we make. So, how do you spend the time? Depends on what choices we made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the choice that one man made. And I want you to try to visualize that situation. The city of Antioch in the Eastern Roman Empire, what came to be known later as the Byzantine Empire in present-day Turkey. early days of the Islam of Isa alayhi salam, which later on by mistake came to be called Christianity. It's Islam of Isa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends two Anbiya to bring the people to Tawheed. And then people deny them. They refuse to accept them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the third. Wadzazna bithalith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them, helps them with the third one. People still refuse. And they threaten the Anbiya. They threaten to torture them. They threaten to kill them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a man who made a choice. He was not a Nabi. The Nabi, when he is chosen and he is sent, he has no choice. He has to do what he has been sent to do. But the man that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, he had a choice. And his choice was to accept the message and sit quietly. I'm not talking about not accepting the message. We're talking here about choosing a deed which has more value over a deed which has less value. If the man had accepted the message of the Anbiya and lived his life according to that, he would still have got Jannah, inshallah. But the man chose something else. The man chose something else. He made a choice. And what was the choice he made? The choice he made was so powerful. The choice he made was so brilliant that his Rabb decided to tell the world about it. If his Rabb had not told the world about this choice, we would never have known. Because this choice is not written in any history books of the world. This choice is written in the book of Allah.
وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ لَا تُغْنِ عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ إِنِّي إِذًا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ قيل ادخل الجنة.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the choice he made. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what happened to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned what he did to him.
قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين.
The man said, I wish my people knew. I wish my people could know how my Rabb forgave me and how my Rabb did my ikram, how my Rabb honored me. Yeah? The man made this wish, his last wish as he died, because they killed him. The man chose to die. The man chose to stand up for the truth. He didn't go to die. He didn't go there to commit suicide. No. He chose to stand up for the truth and to pay for the consequences of the truth, no matter what they might be. Injustice will remain in the world as long as it is less painful to accept injustice than to stand up for justice. When it becomes less painful to stand up for justice, when injustice becomes more painful, when acceptance of injustice becomes more painful, then standing up for justice, justice will be established. And this man demonstrated that. Because he said, I cannot stand here and allow this to happen. I cannot stand here and allow people to worship creatures when they should be worshipping the creator of the creatures. I cannot allow myself to sit silently and watch people being ungrateful to their Rabb, from whom they receive everything. And they will not worship him, they will not bow before him. I have to speak out against it. He was not harming anybody, he was not compelling anybody, he was not forcing anybody. He was just saying, obey the messengers, they do not ask reward from you. Their reward is from Allah. How can we worship something which cannot harm us, which cannot do us any good? How can we worship something which is not worthy of worship and leave the worship of the one who is the only one worthy of worship? And the price to pay for that was perhaps to die. And the man chose to pay that price. And not only did his Rabb give him Jannah, but his Rabb did his ikram. And his Rabb honored him such that he narrated his story in his book, not only for the world to know, but for the believers to recite in Salah until the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to finish his creation. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you and me to make the right choices, so that when we stand before him on the day of judgment, we will be able to answer this question of saying, what did I do with my time? And therefore today for us the assignment is to think about this. How will I answer this question? What did you do with the life that I gave you? Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.